Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Zach Zaidman.
You know, back in the day, I used to live the life. Not a Bieber life, but
no.
I used to live the life.
Zach Zaidman.
Are you serious?
That's an interesting question, Dave.
Fly the W!
4:32 for the Chicago Wolves Update Studio.
4:31.
Approaching 4:32 for the
Just saw Zach fire an empty coffee cup.
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Oh, it's Max Zaidman. I'm sorry.
Chicago Sports Station.
So, if you're wondering why I'm on the air right now instead of major college football, here's the reason. The LSU-Florida game was supposed to be taking place this afternoon right here on The Score, but the SEC postponed that game because the Gators had at least 21 players test positive for COVID-19. So The Score looked around and found what they hope is a capable last-minute fill-in. A pleasant good afternoon to you. Hi, everyone. Zach Zaidman here until 5 o'clock, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You can join the show at 312-644-6767. And I want to be able to talk to you most of this afternoon at 312-644-6767. Now, speaking of college football, how is it that Nick Saban has been given the green light to coach tonight just days after testing positive for COVID-19. You'll recall on Wednesday, he was diagnosed with the virus, but has tested negative three times since, including today. So under SEC protocols, Wednesday is now considered a false positive, and Saban will coach number 2 Alabama tonight against number 3 Georgia. Boy, it sure would be nice if those resources were available to every American, but I digress. Now, here's what I was able to put together on short notice for this show. We'll talk Bears at 2:20 with Tom Thayer as the Bears try to improve to 5-1 tomorrow afternoon in Carolina. Who's at left guard this week? Do we know? Maybe Tom will tell us. Also, from Matt Nagy on down, all we've heard from the Bears since their big win over Tampa Bay is how the offense stinks. Nagy saying, quote, "We need to get the freaking details right. Until we get our details right on offense, we're going to continue to be this way." Allen Robinson admits the team fortunate to be 4-1 with the issues that the Bears have had on offense this season. So with 10 days to prepare for tomorrow's Bears game against the Panthers, what does that mean offensively? What will look different tomorrow than what we've essentially seen so far? And what we've seen so far is this. In a 32-team league, the Bears are 27th in scoring at 21 points per game, thanks in large part to the 27th-ranked offense in the NFL. Now, they've had an extremely difficult time establishing the run, 27th in the NFL at 95 yards per game, 4.1 yards per carry. There's been nothing dynamic about the offense, despite an offseason committed to improving that side of the ball, from new assistants to their new starting quarterback to a bunch of new tight ends and alternate receivers. The group should be better, right, than it was last year? As former Bears GM Jerry Angelo was fond of saying, "Don't tell me about our problems. Give me solutions. I'm in the solution business, not identifying the problems. You guys do a great job of identifying our problems. How about a few solutions?" So the Bears, with 10 days to prepare, what kind of solutions have they come up with? At 2:20, we'll ask Tom Thayer what he thinks those solutions are. Because, man, oh, man, you don't want to go through another season wasting a very good Bears defense, a defense ranked 9th in the NFL. But in my opinion, and I'm sure you guys will agree, having watched the defense this season, that the 2020 Bears are better than that. They're allowing just 20 points per game, third best in the league. And imagine where they'd be if they had the offense playing better complementary football. Is it too much to ask? It's remarkable the Bears are sitting at 4-1. But we've seen this before. The 2012 group, I think, started 7-1, won 10 games, still missed the playoffs, and that group had a better defense and a better offense than the 2020 Bears. So don't squander this start. It's been special. They've been able to, the way they say in hockey, muck and grind their way to that 4-1 start, just finding ways to win. And there's something to be said for that. It's the identity of this team. For them to win, it's got to be an ugly football game. But they can play better on offense, still play an ugly game, and still win. At 3 o'clock, we'll visit with the Coom Dog. Ron Coomer will jump on board, and we'll talk some baseball. You know, after the bitter endings for both the Cubs and the White Sox in the playoffs, have you been following both championship series? It's been crazy. Game 7 tonight in the American League Championship Series. Houston is trying to rally from a 3-0 deficit to win its series with Tampa. FYI, Astros manager Dusty Baker is 71 years old. Meantime, later this afternoon, Game 6 of the National League Championship Series. The Braves lead the Dodgers in that series 3-2. So we'll talk with the Coom Dog about the playoffs and the offseason for both the Cubs and the White Sox. And speaking of the Sox, they're one of the big stories of the baseball world this week because of the surprising news that 76-year-old Hall of Famer Tony La Russa is the top candidate to be the Sox new manager. Now, in my opinion, just going off the baseball, I'm not talking about his views on life or standing for the anthem or any of that kind of stuff, because I don't know if his views have changed given what's transpired in this most turbulent year. But he's human. Humans can evolve, learn to see things in different ways. Who would have ever thought that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell would reverse course the way he has? So it's possible for people to change, even in high-profile positions. Now, I don't know about La Russa, haven't spoken to him, don't know what his views are now after what's happened this year, so I'm not going to guess. But I don't have to guess about the baseball. There are only two managers in Major League Baseball history who have won more games than Tony La Russa: Connie Mack and John McGraw. Let me repeat that. There are only two managers in Major League Baseball history who have won more games than La Russa: Connie Mack and John McGraw. La Russa has won 2,728 games in his Hall of Fame career. He has taken his teams to 6 World Series and won 3 championships. Now, La Russa hasn't managed since 2011. But it's not like he's been on some tropical resort sipping pina coladas and enjoying retirement. In fact, La Russa has been actively involved in baseball in a variety of different front office roles with the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox, including their 2018 championship, and the Angels. So this new wave of baseball is not unfamiliar to him. And here's the thing. If La Russa really is the guy, and I have no idea, but if La Russa really is the guy, would it not mark a significant upgrade for the White Sox over Rick Renteria? In this city alone, we've seen some awful head coach or managerial hires. This would not be one of them. Tony La Russa is not Alpo Suhonen. Tony La Russa is not Mark Trestman. Tony La Russa is not Jim Boylan. Tony La Russa is not Bruce Kim. And you know what? Tony La Russa is not Rick Renteria. Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer, one of the best, smartest, and innovative field managers in the history of Major League Baseball. That's beyond dispute. Now, if La Russa's the guy, he would be charged with leading one of the most talented rosters in the game today. Why does this scare so many people? We just saw David Ross, right? 0 managerial or coaching experience, and he led the Cubs back to the playoffs. Why can't Tony La Russa take the White Sox to the next level? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I want you to be involved as much as possible today. Now, I get it if you think A.J. Hinch is a better hire, but that doesn't mean that Tony La Russa is a bad hire. We'll also replay a super interview from inside the clubhouse this morning. Bruce and Spiegs talked with Joe Maddon today. A must listen if you missed it, and we'll play it again in the 4 o'clock hour. But up next, Bears back in action. Tom Thayer will join us right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
So number one is, I think what you're saying too is like getting into a rhythm, and when you have different personnel groupings and then you have different types of players, and you know, whether that's an Anthony Miller, a Mooney, an A-Rob, and then the tight ends and the running backs, and there's a lot of guys. And so really what this offense over the years has been predicated on is not necessarily trying to force targets too much to too many guys, and you just kind of let the defense dictate who's going to have the big game. And so at times, if we feel like we need to get somebody the ball, we'll do that, and we have our target list and sorts. But right, the biggest thing for our offense right now is that we just try to get into this rhythm that we know we feel like we're really close to, and getting into a rhythm to where we can really help out the defense and let them do their thing, and then end the game in 4-minute mode. So we're trying every day to get to that.
The voice of Bears coach Matt Nagy talking about his offense and some of the issues that the Bears have had in 2020. Boy, all week long, and really over the last 10 days since the Bears surprised Tampa Bay and beat the Bucs at Soldier Field in that Thursday night game, it's almost as though in listening to Nagy and the offensive players, they're coming off a loss in the way they talked to the offense. So let's find out exactly what they've tried to change heading into tomorrow afternoon's game against the Packers. Against the Panthers. Zach Zaidman with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we're a few moments away from talking some Bears football with Tom Thayer. You know, the stats tell you one story. The stats tell you that the Bears are number 27 in total offense. The Bears are 27th in rushing. The Bears are 27th in scoring. That's the one that you kind of take a look at. They're averaging 21 points per game. And I just think, considering the changes that were made during the offseason, and we're talking about a team that added a whole bunch of new tight ends, a lot of extra receivers opposite Allen Robinson, got a new starting quarterback in Nick Foles, a bunch of new assistant coaches. You'd like to think that this offense would be operating better than it did a year ago. And joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is Tom Thayer. And Tom, glad to have you aboard. Good afternoon. So what is it? What's going to be different with 10 days to prepare and the focus since the victory over Tampa Bay being on fixing the details offensively? What do you expect to see differently than what you've seen so far here in 2020?
You know, to me, Zach, you know, I just don't want to see him have a setback. And I think if you want to take the word that they tried to use in describing players last year as incremental improvement, I think that's the same thing you want to have on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, with that being said, I do think that it's everybody's responsibility, because we sit here and every week we seem to have, we could give the MVP of the game to Allen Robinson because of what he's been able to do. But the reason Allen Robinson is good and he gets so many targets is because he's really well prepared. He understands exactly where he needs to be in this offense. And I think that's what has to happen for the whole group. If this offense is going to achieve the type of rhythm that Matt Nagy always wants to talk about and all of us want to talk about, it's the fact it's going to be because every single person is on the exact same page every single moment, no matter what the defense is showing you. So if they need to, you know, continue to target Allen Robinson, then if Matt sees a deficiency within the defense, that will get more targets to Anthony Miller or Darnell Mooney or Jimmy Graham or the tight end position as a whole, then you got to be able to go about your business efficiently and without any hiccups. So it is about everybody understanding exactly what their assignment is under every single circumstance.
Tom Thayer is with us. Are you surprised that, you know, five games in, we're talking about details, the little things that you should have down at this point? It's tough enough to perform when it comes to the big things in the National Football League. Are you surprised we continue to hear the talk about the little details being missed?
No, because I think that's a continuous process of a football team until the end of the season. You know, Zach, there, I guarantee you, we'll never sit here and talk about a football team during the course of the week or during, you know, in preparation for a game the next day and saying, okay, everything is perfect. And, you know, coming off of last week's performance, it was perfect in every measurable way. That's never going to happen because there's always going to be something that needs to be improved, that needs to be sharpened, that needs to be done with more perfection in order to, you know, perform the details of the play. You know, Zach, we could sit here and we could talk about screen plays alone in the NFL across the board with the Bears or whomever runs it. And there's always a detail of imperfection because, you know, the defense, you know, they seek them out. They hunt them out and stuff. So you could sit here and talk one play and talk about how details need to be, you know, to be better performed in order for the play to work better.
I find it interesting that in a league now, and all sports do this now, where they place such a heavy emphasis on analytics, and you're looking for the explosive play. It's why baseball is now about the home run ball. The NBA is all about the three-point shot. And in football, those explosive plays aren't just old school, like what the Raiders used to do back in the Al Davis days, where the quarterback would drop back, and then you'd sling it all the way down the field for a big bomb. To a speedy receiver for a touchdown. In the NFL today, it's about creating opportunities for the yards after the catch by your skill position players, the tight ends and the wide receivers. And it seems as though, you know, you talked about Allen Robinson earlier, it seems as though you have not seen that rhythm, that the ability to hit the receivers or the tight ends in stride where you give them an opportunity, say on a crossing pattern, where the pass catcher gets the ball with the position to make a play after the catch. It's almost as though you see the Bears receivers trying to throw the quarterback open as opposed to the other way around. How do you fix that to create those 3 to 5 big plays that you need on offense in order to dictate what the Bears would like to from that side of the ball?
Well, you know, I think that goes to Anthony Miller and Darnell Mooney because they're the two candidates for that type of catch and run. Even maybe a Javon Wims if he to get the opportunity. For me, if you have Allen Robinson and he finishes the game with 10 catches on 11 targets for 100 yards, you know, he's doing what's asked of them. When you think about the big play and hitting a receiver in stride, I hope it comes after they get the first down because, you know, Zach, in the analytics of football, no matter what you want to talk about the home run throws and how many there are in the course of a season or a game, it's about a team that gets the most first downs and they get them efficiently, that keeps their offense on the field, controls the time of possession, and then gets inside the red zone. But if you want to look at the Bears and you want to see some explosiveness out of this offense, it's getting Anthony Miller, getting Darnell Mooney, or even possibly Cordarrelle Patterson in stride. And you'll see those types of plays. But I don't think that you can – well, you can expect it to get something like that out of Allen Robinson, a big run after the catch. But you look at where he catches a lot of his passes and stuff, and it's in the middle of traffic, and it's a contested catch. So give me the profit of his targets and see if one of those other guys can get in the way of catching stride and turn it into something.
Talking football with Tom Thayer here on The Score. All right, so we know that James Daniels is not going to play anymore because of the pec injury, and the Bears need a new left guard. Who do you think is the right guy for that position, and how will the offensive line change because of that injury?
The offensive line can't change. You know, that's the one thing about it. When you get a new guy inserted in the offensive line, you can't say, okay, we're back to square, you know, to ground zero, and we'll be ready to go and you know, and work in coordination with each other in 3 weeks. That's impossible. It's got to be ready to go by the first play that Alex Barnes was inserted last week. And you know, the thing about it, Alex, is he did give up a sack, but he was able to regroup and kind of hold in there, and the Bears got the win out of the game. But I think it's going to be an interesting competition because Alex Barr is obviously inserted first. He's got experience. I think Rashad Coward is a really interesting guy because he's got, you know, a nasty disposition, and he's got good length, and he's got good size. And I think there's a little bit more security playing at the guard position for him for immediate help to your left and to your right. So I don't know, but I've seen Alex on the injury report a couple days this week. So I think I don't know if it's a game-time decision or the decision has already been made, but I think the two candidates they have between Alex and Rashad Coward, that the Bears' offensive line shouldn't skip a beat. And, you know, they drafted a rookie this year, Arlington Hambright, who's been playing the guard position. And you think about a young, developing offensive lineman, he's always interesting to pay attention to because I thought he developed quickly throughout training camp, and he's been developing, you know, at that same pace throughout the season.
Seems like I asked you this, Tom, all throughout the summer. We were talking about how the Bears had to have a greater commitment to improving their running game. I feel like that's still something that we're talking about from your vantage point. And you were part of some of the best running football teams that the Bears have ever had. How do you fix it? How do you fix it on the fly?
Well, you know how I think you were saying pay attention to details at this point in the season. I think that's the every week commitment of the offensive line because the different fronts are going to change a little bit week in and week out. So you have to make adjustments within a small period of time. But I think it's the overall time spent together. If you can get this offensive line now, whomever playing left guard, to be in here till the end of the season, I think you'll see big strides of improvement. But, you know, it's always about, you know, hey, Juan Castillo has been saying since the beginning of the training camp, it's a physical and finish. And if you have that mentality every single running play that you're going to come off the ball physically and you're going to finish, you're going to play into the whistle, you're going to see, you know, David Montgomery and the rest of the, you know, Cordero and the rest of the running backs be successful because of it, because I think David Montgomery runs with a lot of power. But it is going to be the offensive line continuing to be better and play more physical and, you know, have enough of a running game that it takes a toll on the opponent in the second half, and then you start seeing bigger runs because of a result of that.
Tom Thayer will join Jeff Joniak calling tomorrow's Bears-Panthers game on our sister station WBBM. The pregame show starts at 9 in the morning, kickoff at noon. What stands out to you when you watch video of the Panthers on both sides of the ball?
It's a really well-organized team. You know, they do things really well, successfully on first down, to get them in a manageable second down situation, and then they're not over their heads on third down. And then Teddy Bridgewater is working the plan perfectly. They're not asking him to do too much. There's a lot of window dressing behind the line of scrimmage that could be a real distraction to defensive players that aren't paying attention to their responsibility. And this whole offense has clicked really well with Mike Davis playing in place of Christian McCaffrey. I actually think that Christian McCaffrey is more of a dynamic weapon, but Mike Davis is a better every down football player. And what I mean by that is he's really physical and getting yards after initial contact. He catches the ball really well out of the backfield. You know, he's the perfect size, you know, 5'10", 220 type of guy. So I think the whole combination of a young, aggressive-minded head coach, Teddy Bridgewater fitting this system perfectly, staying on schedule first, second, third down. Then on defense, they try to run a confusing line of scrimmage where if you're not perfect on your assignments, you can let a blitzer escape, or you can block four out of the five right people, and then the fifth one just disrupts the play. So it's going to be about, you know, everybody on offense for the Bears being on the same page. And then Nick Foles understands what he's seeing and get the offense and the best play called out of the huddle. And then, you know, Zach, I think whenever you go into a game and you look at the analytics and you hear how many yards rushing the opponent's given up, it's kind of a double-edged sword there. because they're being told that every day by their coaches that they're not playing the run very well, and you're being told every day that you guys should have a great running game because this team doesn't stop the run. And when that challenge collides and you have a new left guard and you have some new defensive linemen because of injuries on Carolina, you know, that little dynamic there so close to the football could have a huge impact on the game.
Boy, that's a great point. I want to leave you on this, a little bit of a Nick Foles conversation here, because we saw last week against Tampa, there were times where he got into the flow and the offense was humming and there was a rhythm to what the Bears were doing. And then we saw just the opposite. How do you get that to be a little bit more consistent? Plus, we also saw Foles be very animated on the sideline, talking to his head coach, Matt Nagy, about, it looked like, trying to incorporate things that he would like to see. Was there enough time, do you think, this week to put those things in where you reach a happy medium between the coach and the QB to create the kind of consistency you need?
You know, I think consistency comes with reps when you talk about the development of a really well-rhythmed offense. And you think about the week leading up to the Tampa game with only a couple days of practice and never realistically running a real football play at realistic speed on the practice field. So now you're trying to go there Thursday night and do everything exactly how it's supposed to be at 100% that you haven't done that since the last time you played on, you know, in the game you played previous to that. But I do think the better Nick understands the offense, the more input he can have to these coaches of what he feels confident with on the field, and then the more actual kind of Wednesday, Thursday reps or game reps he gets, I do think that he'll be able to progress the efficiency of this team at a faster pace.
Tom, thank you so much. I've got good news. I think Notre Dame is leading Louisville 6-0 in the second, but I thought we would see more offense from ND at this point in the game.
Yeah, I did see it a couple, you know, early plays, and Ian Book, you know, had a couple of miscalculated throws. I don't know if it's because it's so windy there or just that, you know, a little overexcited about the out, you know, trying to get it into the end zone. But, 6-0. I'm glad Louisville's playing them a good, tough game.
Tom, thank you so much. Always appreciate the time. Have a good call tomorrow with Jeff.
Thanks, Zach.
Tom Thayer, Bears radio analyst, spending some time with us here on The Score. You're up next. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. So what do you think? What do you make of the Bears 4-1 start? And, you know, when I look at this team offensively, again, we've heard a lot of talk from the Bears about how they need to get better. Can they? Is this a team that now gives you a little bit more hope than, say, you had before the season started, based on the fact that they've been able to get out to this fast start that they've gotten out to at 4-1? Your call's next. 312-644-6767. Zach Zaidman with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I would say probably what we'll see is the more and more he plays and gets comfortable in this system with these players, the more and more accurate he's going to become. So, you know, whether you talk about a type of play or concept within our system that we start to filter through the likes and dislikes, and then you talk about going out there and doing it, and then you throw a specific defense of the week at him. But I really feel like at least this week in practice, really good week. And today in particular, I was really happy with the way that the offense practiced. The defense too, they've been having great practices. But today, the offense really did a good job just executing and that ball, the accuracies and that sort of thing. And a lot of times that usually transfers to Sunday, but we'll see.
That's encouraging. Hopefully Matt Nagy is right when the Bears take on the Panthers in Carolina tomorrow, because essentially we've had 10 days of Nagy and the Bears players talking about how bad the offense is, even though they're 4-1. And that's encouraging, but the numbers show you that they've obviously had some major difficulty operating offensively consistently over the course of games. The Bears' offense is 27th out of 32 teams in the NFL, including number 27 in scoring at just 21 points per game. Zach Zabin with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score here until 5 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll switch gears, talk a little baseball with the Coombdog as Ron Coomer will join us. But until then, taking your phone calls, talking some Bears football at 312-644-6767. Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the offense better complement what's been a really good defense this year, and a defense that can get significantly better than what we've seen over the first five games of the season. The Bears, and to me the most important statistic when I look at a defense, is fewest points allowed, and the Bears are third in the NFL in fewest points allowed, giving up just 20 points per game. So that means the Bears' defense is putting the team in a position to win every single game. And the offense, I don't think, has taken advantage of that nearly enough, at least if you want to be the kind of team that makes some noise later on in the year and a team that you want heading into the playoffs. And to me, everything about the Bears is below average from an offensive standpoint, except the numbers that Nick Foles has put up as quarterback this season. Everything about that has been average: 64% completion percentage, 84 passer rating, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks, 4 sacks. It can be better. It should be better. There was a commitment to making it better with the addition of all the new offensive assistants, with the new tight ends that they added to the mix, with the alternate receivers that they have opposite Allen Robinson, who's one of the best receivers in the NFL. But yet it seems so difficult for the Bears to generate a rhythm. And then it's even harder for them to generate anything explosive offensively. I mean, the game is designed, the rules are designed to help offenses create some explosive plays. Every sport has the rules designed that way. Every sport is thinking big, thinking explosively. You see it in baseball with the home run. You see it in basketball with the three-point shot. And you see it in football with big pass plays that allow tight ends and receivers to gain big yards after the catch. That's why the Panthers have won 3 consecutive games after losing the first 2 games to start the season. That's why Teddy Bridgewater has a passer rating of better than 100. Is it too much to ask the Bears to be able to consistently put themselves in a position where you get 3 explosive plays on offense a game? 3. I'm not greedy. I'm not asking the Bears to do what the Kansas City Chiefs do. I'm not asking them to be this offensive juggernaut. Just asking for them to keep a defense honest, to move the ball down the field a little bit, and put points on the board to give this defense a little bit of a cushion. That's what's been so frustrating. You know, it's not as though the Bears came into this season with the same old. You know, they really did make a commitment to improving what they are as an offensive football club. And yet the results are the same. And again, I'm not asking for this razzle-dazzle craziness that we see from the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not asking them to be the Packers on offense. But I feel like it's not too much to ask them to be just a little bit better than what they've been offensively. Can you take the 27th ranked offense and move it closer to between 15 and 20, where your average on offense to complement what's been a very good defense over the last 3 years? That shouldn't be too much to ask. And I think that's the reason you heard the frustration from Matt Nagy and Allen Robinson and the rest of the offensive players following the victory over Tampa Bay. And I looked this up yesterday. I was trying to think, like, what's the biggest pass play, and not a gimmick play where you're throwing to a running back like Tariq Cohen when he was healthy for a big touchdown. But what are the biggest offensive touchdown passes to either a wide receiver or a tight end over the last few seasons for the Bears? Because it's been invisible this year. But 2018, the biggest pass play for a touchdown to either a tight end or a wide receiver was a 20-yard touchdown to Josh Bellamy. 2019, last season, the biggest pass play for a touchdown to either a wide receiver or a tight end was 18 yards to Ben Broniker. Matt Nagy was not hired for that. Matt Nagy was hired so that Allen Robinson can get big pass plays for a touchdown, so that Jimmy Graham can get big pass plays for a touchdown, so that Cole Kmet can get big pass plays for a touchdown. Why isn't he seeing him on the field? It's a little alarming to me that there was so much hype. Everyone who watched Notre Dame last season, you saw the athleticism that this guy presents, the size-speed ratio, the mismatches. So something's gone wrong. Something's not computing. Because if he was anything close to the kind of player he was at Notre Dame, he'd be on the field on a regular basis this year. So that's a little alarming to me. And then, you know, you've seen Darnell Mooney flash the speed and the athleticism. And he hasn't been the only one who's done that at the alternate receiver positions. But it would be nice if you could get the quarterback on the same page with his receivers and tight ends to be able to hit those guys in stride, where you're setting up those guys to do more than just catch the pass. You know, I feel like every time the ball is thrown in Allen Robinson's direction, it's a contested ball, and he's got to make this unbelievable catch. But that's it. You don't get anything more than just the catch. You know, the best teams in the NFL, when you watch the most efficient offenses in football, what do? They get the ball to their receivers and tight ends with an opportunity to take short to medium range gains and turn them into big plays. It's been a long time. Can you remember? When's the last time? Just close your eyes and visualize Bears football. When's the last time that the Bears had three of those in any single game? That's what it's going to take, I think. And that's when you hear Matt Nagy talk about paying attention to the details, because it's paying attention to those details that ultimately is going to put them in a position to be able to get some of those explosive games. You're not asking for 10 of those a game. You're asking for three. If you can do that three times, not all of them are going to lead to touchdowns, but if you can get those three explosive pass plays a game, man, all of a sudden defensively, the other team's on its heels a little bit. Maybe now you can start to establish the run a little bit, create some balance, sustain longer drives, keep your offense on the field, and give your defense the chance to exhale a little bit. Give your defense an opportunity to take the field with a lead. Give that defense an opportunity to make some plays, because they know now what the opposing offense is going to do, which allows you an opportunity to get some takeaways. But everything has been so hard offensively for the Bears over the last two seasons. And I understand why that was the case last year. They had no tight ends. You know, they didn't have someone who could consistently stay on the field as the alternate wide receiver to Allen Robinson. They had a whole bunch of injuries to the offensive line. I don't understand why that's been the case this season, with, again, all the resources that this team poured in to making the offense better. Because they saw what you saw last season. They saw that they didn't have tight ends. So they made sure to heavily invest in that position this season. You've yet to see an Andy Reid offense run well without quality at the tight end position, both in Philadelphia and Kansas City. So you'd think it'd be a little bit better, right? We know Nick Foles knows how to run this offense because he did it successfully in Philadelphia. He was around in Kansas City, so it's not like this is new to him. And with all the attention paid to Allen Robinson and stopping the Bears' running game, you would think that there are opportunities available out there to the tight ends and the other receivers on the field. Why have the Bears not been able to make teams pay for that? That's what's been so maddening. Because again, we see it. It's the third consecutive year that the Bears are putting a terrific defense on the field. You don't want to waste it. You don't want to waste it. And really, since 85, how many years have you seen the Bears waste really talented defenses because they couldn't even put statistically an average offense on the field? When is that going to change? Now, a lot of that, you know, and we've heard so many excuses over the years. Quarterback, lack of receivers. You know, they don't really have a tight end. They've got defensive-oriented coaches. You don't have those excuses this year. They targeted their man at quarterback. You know, they gave Mitchell Trubisky an opportunity, but they prepared themselves if he wasn't able to take the next step. They targeted Nick Foles. He was their guy to fix this. They targeted Matt Nagy because he was the bright young offensive mind trained by Andy Reid that could fix this. They targeted Jimmy Graham because he was the veteran tight end whose durability would be useful in this offense. They targeted Cole Kmet because his size and speed was the right fit for this offense. They targeted Darnell Mooney because his athleticism was perfect opposite Allen Robinson. So why is the offense struggling as much as it has so far this season? It should be better. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's take a break when we come back. There is a lot of baseball to talk about. And we'll go in depth with the Coom Dog next. Zach Zaidman with you until 5 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.